I want to thank you guys for having me here this evening. It is a real honor. When I got the invite, I think I was running around my house. I was so pumped. I absolutely love preaching the Word of God. I love it. And I, you know, if there's one thing that I love more than that, it's getting to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm a church planter northeast of Denton. We've been about a year into it, and it has been my sincerest passion since the moment I got saved of just telling other people about the radical change Jesus Christ made in my life. And to be able to go and share that with others has really been the joy of my salvation. So tonight, if you will, turn to Acts chapter 11, and we'll be going through verses 19 through 30, looking at what the Lord did in an area called Antioch. I'll give you guys a quick history on this. This area was a very prominent area in the Roman areas, the Hellenized areas. It was an area of major commerce, so it was a hustling, bustling area. I've heard historians and theologians alike say that this is would be compared to the modern-day New York, okay? So this is like a prime place for the gospel to take off. This is a perfect place. Lots of commerce, lots of trade, lots of busyness. And here we are, the church at Antioch. But before we get into the text, it's important to also go back to Acts chapter 7, and we'll read real fast just kind of what's setting the stage for this portion of text that we're going to go through tonight, okay? And in verse 59, it says, "And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice." Remember, this is the deacon Stephen, okay? He had been appointed as a deacon in Jerusalem. And here he is. "And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against him.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." And then in chapter 8, it says, "And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem." And listen to this, "And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." Now going to our text today that we have, this gives us a little background of what's happening here. Starting in verse 19, we'll read the text and then we'll open in prayer. It says, "Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch the disciples were first called Christians. Now in these days prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to come here this evening to share your word. And just as I was going through this, and you know the prayer of my heart, Lord, is that we would be encouraged through this portion of text. We would see how important the mission that you have given us is, Lord, and that's to go and share the gospel, to make disciples, Lord, to fulfill this great commission. And I pray, Lord, maybe there's some in here tonight and they know that they just haven't been as faithful as they could be in this specific mission that you've called us to. I pray that you would stir something up inside of them tonight, Lord, that they would be faithful to go out and share the gospel with maybe that lost family member, maybe that lost neighbor or lost coworker or even lost child, Lord, and they would go share the good news of Jesus Christ, that those individuals would come to faith in Jesus Christ, that they'd be baptized and they'd be followers of Christ, that would impact this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power to save. Lord, move our hearts tonight and allow us to be a people to fulfill this mission for your glory, for your honor, and for your praise. In Jesus' heavenly name I pray, amen. Now, My little girl, okay, now I'm going to let you guys know, I get a little animated sometimes, so if this comes out of my hand, you guys, front row, practice this, all right? All right, so my oldest girl is 11 years old, and since this little girl got saved, I'm telling you, she has been full throttle evangelist. The Lord has definitely done something special in her heart, and I've taught her the importance of sharing the gospel. Now, she does it so much, so sometimes it's, you know, I'm thinking, well, that's a little too much. We're just here to hang out today, right? But I'll take her to the park sometimes. I remember one of the first times I took her to the park after coming to salvation, she runs right over to this little group of girls, and she starts telling them all about Jesus. And then I see her doing this, and she comes running back towards me. I go, what happened? What just happened? She goes, Daddy, those girls don't speak any English. I said, okay, well, what language do you think they're speaking? She goes, I think they're speaking Spanish. Do you have anything where I can tell them about Jesus in Spanish? Well, we just happen to have Spanish tracks in the car. And I said, you know what? We do. We got some Spanish tracks. Let's go over there and get them. So she goes back over there, and she's still trying to speak to them in English, right, and explain to them what this is. But she hands it to the little girls, and they run right over and hand it to their parents. And she comes back to me, and she goes, Daddy, do you think they'll read them? I said, look. And they are, the whole family sitting there reading them. Another time, my daughter goes, I was pressed for time. I was so pressed for time. And I was coming back from the base. This is when I was still in the Marine Corps. And I'm trying to rush home. She goes, Daddy, remember you promised me you were going to take me out door knocking. I was like, well, yeah, not today. Like, Daddy's got stuff to do, okay? And she goes, no, but you promised me, Daddy. So I said, okay, we'll go over and we'll get on this street. We'll knock a couple doors and then we'll go home. And I'm like, oh, Lord, please, let no one be home. I gotta go, right? So we get out, and we knock the first door. No one's home. I go, praise the Lord. We go to the next one. No one's home. I'm like, man, Jesus, this is good. Next one, she goes, well, Daddy. Oh, and we did the third one. No one home. I'm like, all right, baby, let's go. We gotta go home. And she goes, Daddy, but you think everyone else on this street knows about Jesus? All right. I said, so a couple more houses? And she goes, no, Daddy, let's do the whole street. So we did. I was late. And we stay out there, and we share the gospel. We had the opportunity to share the gospel with a couple different women on that street. And they just thought it was the cutest thing, because my daughter's like right there at the gospel track. I'm talking, and she has her hands out the whole time just waiting for him to take that track. And another thing my daughter does, one of my absolute favorite things, and I'm not boasting this. I'm going to try not to cry here. I get so choked up, but she loves just talking Bible with me. She loves being challenged. It's funny. We oftentimes get in conversations about end time things, eschatology and things like that. And she's 11, but she soaks it up. And we went out on a daddy-daughter date, and I took her to her dance. And at dinner, she goes, Daddy, tell me something about the Bible I don't know. You know, one of the beautiful things is looking for those opportunities to teach. And I shared all that with you about all those things about my daughter with you tonight, because there are a couple things in tonight's sermon going through what the Lord did at the church at Antioch. And this is what I believe the work of the believer is to be. As followers of Jesus Christ, what are we to do? What is our salvation for, right? It's not just a quick ticket to heaven. It's not a get out of hell free card, right? The Lord has a purpose. In fact, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, said one thing before he left, his final statement. Now, I don't know about you guys. If you have one final thing to say to someone before you leave, you know you're never going to see him again, right? You're going to make sure it's something real important, right? You're not going to say, hey, I forgot the ice cream on the counter. Remember to put it in the freezer. You're going to make sure it's impactful. And Jesus Christ says, go and be witnesses. Go and be witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. And we get into the text today, and here's what happens. We see the believers scattering because of the persecution. And they're scattering, and guess what they're doing as they're going? They're not just running for their lives. They're going from city to city, telling people about the beautiful work of Jesus Christ and what he accomplished. So we have these people proclaiming a precious Savior along the way, right? And then we get to Antioch. Praise the Lord, there were a couple men who were able to go out and say, you know what, these Gentiles need to hear this too. And these guys were just so on fire, they start preaching to everyone. So the first thing in the work of the believer is the work of evangelism. And I want you to understand, from verse 19,
It's to be done in every circumstance. Verse 19 says that they were scattered because of the persecution. These believers were being persecuted, thrown into prison. They were laying down their lives, and they were sharing the gospel. And we have, we just heard a sermon. We do live in a nation where we can go out and preach the gospel. You know, I've had the cops called on me. I've had guns pulled on me and things like that. But I haven't been thrown in prison. You know, I haven't taken any real beatings because of the gospel. And these believers were being persecuted. They were on the run. And here they are sharing the gospel. And I want you to realize that in our comfort or in our suffering, the persecution, look and be faithful for those opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because you never know what's going to happen. Now, granted, in Acts chapter 9, it's the Lord that confronts Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, right? But imagine the response of the church when they see this guy show up. They're like, whoa, you're the one that's been persecuting us. But that's what the gospel does. The gospel takes someone who's going totally against Jesus Christ and radically transforms their lives to go and make an impact in the world for his name. And this is what the believers are doing. Now, notice this. These believers that are going, hold on. I don't see Peter, I don't see Paul, I don't see John. It was the believers, right? Because all the apostles were still hanging back in Jerusalem. It was the believers, right? It wasn't the ministers, it wasn't the elders. It was those who had placed their faith in Jesus Christ went out and shared the good news. And in every circumstance, I encourage you tonight, share the gospel. You never know what circumstance, what situation the Lord is going to use to make an eternal impact of the life of the person that you're speaking with. So look in every circumstance for those opportunities. The next thing that we need to notice is verse 20, that it's to be done in every nation and amongst all peoples. I love what Pastor Will said because he's right. The Lord has brought the nations to the DFW area, right? You can go all over, and there are people from every nation in this metroplex. It's phenomenal. But listen to this. Just as I shared with my little daughter in that illustration, right, she walked up to those little girls that didn't speak a word of English, and she didn't let that stop her. She came back and said, Daddy, these girls need to hear the gospel. Give me something with Spanish on it, right? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. I had something in the car. But looking for those opportunities. Listen, no one in this room is better than anyone else from any other nation, any other context, any other ethnicity. Every single person needs the gospel. And we need to be constantly aware of that. I hear people all the time, especially with the political climate and how things are right now, you know, and there's so many that are radically opposed to Islam. Yeah, but man, they need the gospel, right? How can we hate a people that we're trying to share the love of Jesus Christ with? Do I hate what's happening? Yeah. But I want them to experience what happens when you place your faith in Jesus Christ. So looking for in every circumstance and to do it among all people and then to be done in his power. Verse 21, he says this, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. So here they are preaching the gospel, and many are believing. Why? Because the Lord is upon them. The power of the Holy Spirit. And back in Acts 1:8, that's what he talks about, right? The Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be my witnesses. Do we truly, sincerely believe that God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, has given us the power of the Holy Spirit to go and guess what? All we got to do is open our mouths and share the gospel, right? The Holy Spirit's the one that saves. We are called to be the messengers of reconciliation. We're the messengers. We go and we proclaim the gospel. And I'm telling you, years ago, I realized that. I realized, you know, it's the Lord is the one that saves. I'm the one that proclaims. And when I realized that, it took a weight off my shoulders. Because if the person accepts or they rejects, that's between them and the Lord. But I have been faithful and obedient to the call of evangelism that the Lord has given each one of us. And once again, I also want to preface all that with this. You may not be an extremely powerful soul winner. I get that. But that doesn't mean that your children don't need to hear it. Like I said, your brother, your sister, a mom or a dad, your next door neighbor, the people that you have those relationships with. Talk to them about Jesus Christ. And then next we see the work of discipleship. Verses 22 through 26, it says the report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and listened and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. So the work of discipleship, and this started with the leadership. We can go all the way back to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who had his 3, he had his 12. And he was discipling. And then we see the apostles, they were discipling. And then we see here, we have Barnabas, and then we have Saul, and they're discipling. It started with the leadership, but as the leadership did it and fulfilled that obligation, the people began to do it and fulfill that obligation. And I'm saying that because my little girl, in those conversations, we have the responsibility to be pouring everything that the Lord's poured into us, turning around and pouring it into other people. And she's an 11-year-old little girl. But I'm going to tell you, that 11-year-old little girl, I saw her stand up in Awana's one night and share the gospel with her children or the other children there. And I saw multiple children come down and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's me pouring into this little girl who has placed her faith in Jesus Christ. I'm saying none of that to boast. I'm saying that that's what discipleship does, right? The apostles, all they did was mirrored Christ. I'm going to do what Jesus did. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be obedient. And that's what they do here. They pour into the people, and they remain faithful and obedient. But not only does it start with the leadership, also notice that the focus of the teaching was to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. That's exactly what Barnabas tells them. That's exactly what he preaches to them, to be faithful to the Lord with a steadfast purpose. So in teaching these people, Roland Allen, I'm going to paraphrase this, but Roland Allen had said that if you want to teach people doctrine, first teach them how to be submitted to the Lord. First teach people just how to be followers of Christ, because as they're submitted to the Lord, as they're following Jesus Christ passionately, that's when we're going to be able to teach them the deeper things. And here's another thing. I was talking to my daughter about sensus divinitatis, right? And if you're in here, you're like, what is sensus divinitatis? I said that intentionally because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you're in here and you don't know what that means, fantastic. Because these people didn't, but they were still out changing the area with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I only told my daughter that because she overheard me talking to my wife about it. But the point is we are to teach people to be steadfast, to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ, submitted to him. And as they submit themselves to Jesus Christ and what he's called them to, right, and he's looking for that faithful obedience, he's going to use them up. And then pastors, we preach, we pour into them, we pour into the people, and they receive it because they're already submitted. They're already sold out and living their lives for Jesus Christ. And then we have two men working together. There was a sharing of the responsibility. The entire load wasn't on just Barnabas. He went and got Saul, and he partnered in the work together, right? So I would encourage you, parents, partner in discipling your children. Pastors, don't feel like you got to carry the load all by yourself. I have seen pastors get ate up because they try to do it all by themselves. And I used to be an associate pastor, and I was like, hey, I'm over here. I'll do it. No, I got it, JT. Like, no, seriously. You know, I'm at the sidelines. Like, I'm going. I'm ready. You know, don't do it by yourselves. Pour in to other people. Partner. Just as Christ did. He sent his disciples out. He sent them out and used them up with the gifts that the Lord had given them. And then finally, here is the result of this work. Right? Many come to salvation. We see that. The area of Antioch is changed, which sets up a major catalyst for the rest of the Hellenized area to be reached with the gospel. But I want you, in these closing moments, to notice this. We'll go down to verse 29. We just heard about the famine. And in 29 it says, so the disciples, the believers there in Antioch, the believers determined everyone according to his ability to send relief. They decided to partner together, and they sent relief to the brothers living in Judea And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul, their very best. They partnered together for the gospel ministry because they had been trained, because they had been discipled, because they had been taught the importance of evangelism. They partnered with other believers in distant areas for the furtherance of the gospel, for the furtherance of the kingdom, for the glory of God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day and this opportunity. I thank you for this wonderful church and these wonderful people, Lord, allowing us to come in and to share your word. I pray that they be encouraged, Lord, and I thank you for what you did in my heart this evening. Thank you for this blessing, and I thank you for a precious Lord and Savior. Give us boldness to go out into a lost and dying world and proclaim the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.